Let's quickly pray. Christ, thank you that I've got lots to say, but I pray that you will say what you want to say. That you will come with your light, and that you will shine in hearts, in us and through us. Lord, time is not an issue for you. So I pray, Lord, that you will come. Just have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. May man's faith not be based on my words, but your spirit and power. And thank you, Lord. Let me not be, and let us not be, a people that talk about the light. But may we be a people that have the light of life. May we not refer to, be theologically astute in having lots and lots of knowledge about light, but may we actually shine. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. That was exactly it on Friday night. I was continuing my preparation, but I was a bit much, even though I had a Sabbath. It was a busy day. And so I just realized I needed to finish what I needed to finish on Friday night so that I can finish on Saturday what I need to finish on Saturday. And yet in that moment, very simple revelation, not that wow, but yet I think life-changing and something that we as Christians should always remember. I could either go on with my works and my doing and preparation, or I can just wait. So I can, either I can gather in knowledge, put it on paper, and put a good structure, or continue with my structure and put it all together, or I can meet with the light himself. And so, by the grace of God, I waited. And I went into worship. And I said, before I talk about this light of life, I want to just again tonight meet him. And I had the most amazing, it was a short moment, but it was just that, it just hit the mark. Boom. Just in a moment in worship, just an honest moment in worship, and it was just like, boom, the lights went on, literally. And he just shook my life again. He just came and he touched me again. And this morning is like that. We can have lots and lots of sermons, and I love sermons, and I love preaching, as you know, and it's biblical and it's good. But it's one thing hearing about the light, but it's another thing being in this state of worship, being in this place where we're on holy ground. And you see the light start going on. There's a meeting with the light of life. There's a meeting with the Spirit of God. There's a connection. My connection will look different than Albert's, and Albert's different than Emmy's, and that's fine. But that we have these honest encounter moments with him. And so I'm going to try to condense. I'm going to trust that the Lord does something miraculous this morning, that we can get through this. But if you met with the light of life this morning, you've had your sermon. I want to say, praise God, because that's the best. Nothing could take that Friday night moment away. There's lots of good preachers out there. God bless them. And there's lots of revelation that I get, and moments I get from preaching. But there's another thing, meeting face to face with the light of life, the light of the world himself. And so that's actually my encouragement for you this morning. I said to somebody the other day, going through a bad patch, wheels are a bit coming off. I said, stop doing stuff for the next 10 years. If you do nothing in church, or you do nothing at all, give me this promise that you'll fall head over heels in love with Jesus again. Don't do this series. Don't read this book. Read this book, the Bible. That's a good book. Don't read other books. Don't do a lot of stuff. But promise me this, you're going to ask the Lord, you want to fall in love with Christ again. And so this morning, I want to tell you, before we talk about the light, before we tell about the fact that we as a church and we as a bride are called to shine a light out there, I want to challenge you in love and say, hey, let's fall in love with the light of life again, the lover of our souls. If necessary, some of you might be on honeymoon with Jesus. Well, praise God for that. Not everybody is in that place, but I want to challenge you and say, Lord, I want that with you. I just want a taste to know that you're good again. He need not prove himself, that we know. He need not. But he's a God of relationships, and I know he'll speak to your heart. Cool. So as if I had any extra time, I took an extra intro, but let's see where we can go this morning. We've been busy with the Known for Love series, and God has been clearly speaking to us ever since he gave us a public word, saying that, look here, amongst others, pray for the laborers, for the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So he's calling us as a church community, you are the laborers. Who likes to be a laborer? Okay, all three of us. Okay, great. So this sermon is for the rest of you guys. So he's calling us to be laborers. Matthew 9:37 says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, laborers into the harvest field." Thereafter, when Johann came, he said, "We are fishers of men." I can't go into all of that. Go listen to this sermon. Right after that, Lihana said, "Look here, I believe this is a prophetic key for you guys." Spot on. Boom, boom, boom again. Saying that we are kinsmen redeemers. In other words, we're called to redeem others. As we've been redeemed, we're called out there to go and redeem. What is redemption? Petri said last week, to provide and to protect. To provide and protect for others as we've been provided for and protected by the Lord. And then in between, I shared about the fact that redemption is absolute grace. And we looked at the life of Mephibosheth. There you can read again what grace is. And so the Lord is, and there's a clear golden thread that the Spirit is speaking to this church about. Yet, I don't want us to run into works if it does not come from a place where the Lord does it through us. And Johann said, he had planned the works beforehand so that we may walk in them, to be led in the works of God. I would much rather want to be led in the works of God than wanting to perform to please any of you guys or please the authority that's over my life and my job. And so I believe Luke 19:10 is very important to us as a church community at the moment, but it needs to be birthed in our hearts. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." What does it mean for you to be a kinsman redeemer? What does it mean to you to be a laborer? What does it mean to you to be a fisher of men? It's not up there, but what does it mean to you? And will my fishing look exactly the same as Bernard's fishing? Probably not. Dominique says definitely no. He might have been granted a net by the Lord and I might have been granted a fish lane. But we're both called to be fishers of men. And so I'm taking you on a journey. I believe the Lord is taking us on a journey just to see what does it mean. Now there was another thing, another word that came through Stephen. The Lord has been speaking to Stephen a lot about being the light. You know about being salt and light? And so Stephen, this is something that Stephen's brought up many times and again in intercession. So he brought that word. It was confirmed by Petri. And I'm like, I trust both these guys. I trust their fruit. And I believe that is a prophetic word that comes with what the Lord is saying. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. You can go to the next slide. I said there, sometimes it is to do, but mostly it is to be. Does that make sense to anybody? Sometimes it is to do, but mostly it is to be. My best do comes from my be. My best do comes from my be. Hey? Yeah, I love it. I'm going to read it again. Sometimes it is to do. And so religion will tell you to do, to do, to do, to do, to do. A religious spirit, a Pharisee spirit, a spiritual pride will say, will come and drive. A fear will come and drive. A fear, a slave mentality will say, come and do, 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 do. Yet sonship, truth, says you need to be. But if you are truly being, as Johann said, with faith, you will do. And so your do comes from your be. Say with me, your do comes from your be. Now we're not a sect. It all makes sense. I'll unpack it now. If anybody should walk in, they think, what is this people on? And so we're called to be the light to the world as Christ is the light to the world. Am I right? Is it easy to be the light of the world? Not. Who of you got it right this week? I think most probably more than would realize, actually. But it's not an easy thing, and it's difficult to unpack. But let's look at the light. Petri and I, at intercession, realized that he was busy with his preparation for worship, and I was busy with my preparation. And we realized that the Lord is saying the same thing. That's why we already sang the scriptures that we're going to look at. And so the Lord is really talking to us to be the light to this world. Now, I can't go into all of the details just because of time, but in Matthew 4:13, it refers to the Old Testament in Isaiah. You can go to the next slide. I'm going to skip that. But there, you can go to the next slide where the original... Thank you. In Isaiah 9:2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." This was a prophecy, and obviously in Matthew, it was then, it came to be that Christ started to walk in his ministry. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Who of you were in utter darkness, and then a light shine upon you? It should be all of us, yes. Amen. Do you remember that moment? Do you cherish that moment or season? I don't remember a moment, if I need to be honest, but I remember a season. In fact, God sent a beautiful torch to me. Her name was Edna. She wasn't Ace then. I had to rename the torch at a later stage. Please, guys, the unmarried guys, don't get any ideas. This is actually not apparently how you should do it, but it worked in our time. It worked. So God sent a beautiful torch to me that had the light of life, and it kind of rubbed off. Later on in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For us a child is born." This is the light now, the light of the world. This is, again, talking about this light. "To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Just let this minister to your spirit. "Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So this light of the world, this light of life, Jesus Christ himself that comes into the light that you say have come in your life, is also known, prophetically we're known as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you think, after the worship, it might be easier to say so, but on Wednesday morning at work, do you think, "The light in me is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace." They'll probably hook you up with some pills and say, "Please do not do that in the boardroom ever again." But yet it's the truth. The light that came to this world, that shone in darkness, that is still shining and want to shine through us into darkness, is a Wonderful Counselor. He did it this morning. I believe this heart has been changed. He knew about heartache. He came in. He knew about unforgiveness. And he came as a Wonderful Counselor. He came as a Mighty God. In this, in his might, in his glory, he comes in this. Let me not go down that road again. Everlasting Father, he's close, he's a good dad. The one that is the light of life. And the Prince of Peace. Who's got peace at the moment? I have. Praise God. So we need Christ to have this light in us and through us. We've said this many times again in this year. In us and through us. So the light, we receive this light in us and then through us. Where, before we go on to Scripture, where in this world will you shine the light, or do you need to shine the light of Christ? In darkness, yes, that's everywhere where we move. Let's get practical. Let's get very practical. In our homes, yes. In our children's schools, yes. That's a low blow. That's a low blow. That was quite prophetic. Conviction. In the traffic. I shine my light in the traffic. Please go left. I'm sorry. And I say thank you. I shine my hazards to say thank you. Okay, Dirk, you've got us. Well done. Where else? In the workplace. Where else? In the bus. Yes. Where else? In the shop. Everywhere you go, yes. Can light not be light everywhere it goes? Any last thoughts? Where should I shine the light of Christ in this world? In church. That's a very good one. Who's sometimes not shined the light of Christ in church? Om jou aan lach, gaan ste lekker. All the eerlijkheid hier vanochtend. All the honesty. I love that. Let's move on. Let's look at Scripture. Pietri introduced us to John 8:12. This is Christ saying, "I'm the light of life." If you go read John, all over it speaks of Christ being the light of the world, light of life. As much as, not as much, but obviously John is much about love, but also about light. And so I'm going to read a fair bit of scripture, but just look at this and see who's got the light here and who's got the darkness. And if we want to be the light of this world, if we want to be the light of life, if we want to shine this light, what do we have to do? I like stuff to be practical. It's nice to have these nice ideas, and it's very spiritual, very cool, but very spiritual should also be very practical. Otherwise, you can't do life with it. So I can be very spiritual, but my very spiritual need to be very practical. Amen. Let's read. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Don't switch off now. Let's go through it. It's a long part. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. So they changed the subject. Have you ever read the Gospels? Many people change the subject. And when they asked Jesus questions, he kind of changed the subject, but it was still the real subject. Anyway, that's for another day. Jesus answered, verse 14, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. Please note, he knew where he came from, his source, and he knows where he is going. That's something that I need to look in my life. That's something I've been going through this last couple of months, but even this last 14 years since I've been saved. Where do I come from and where am I going? Because darkness and light will have a big influence on that. And depending on what you believe and depending on what your heart is in your heart will determine if you can truly shine light. For you know your source. You know where you're from and where you're going. In the middle of the night, I need to wake you up. My grade standard 3, grade 5 rugby teacher said on a Tuesday afternoon, because we played on Wednesdays our rugby match. He said, Vanaand, jy eet rugby. Jy slaap rugby, jy droom rugby. That is, you eat rugby, you sleep rugby, you dream rugby. That just means like, look here, just have your focus on. Now, if I should wake you up in the middle of the night, you don't have to say, eat rugby, slaap rugby, meneer. You should know where you come from, whose you are, and where you're going. Because this whole world is constantly pounding at you. Knowingly and unknowingly, the shops, the people in church, the culture, the spiritual realm, social media constantly asking you, who are you? And so Christ knew who he was. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Again, referring to the Father. There's lots and lots of good stuff in here. We can't go too deep, unfortunately. Let's just stay in the context of the light. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. So actually here is a bit of a debate, knowingly and unknowingly, of darkness and light, seeing and not seeing. You see, they think they've got this good argument. And he just says, you're actually not seeing and you're actually being blind, but you don't know it. Moving on. Verse 19, they said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. In other words, you don't see. You're blind. So actually he's telling him, you're a bit blind. If you knew me, in other words, if you knew the light, if you received the light of the world, you would know my Father also. Why do we want to tell the people? Why do we want to show them? Why do we want to lead them to the light of life? To know whom? To know the Father. The light of life led you where? To the Father. And so we want to do that as well. Verse 20, these words were spoken in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. This is just saying, look here, he was doing a crazy thing. He should have been killed. Actually, it's a miracle that he did not die, because he went up the nostrils of the religious system. He went up the nostrils of the Pharisee spirit and the pride. He went up into darkness. Anyway, let me stop there. So he said to them again, I'm going away and you will seek me. You will seek me eventually and you will die in your sin. But by this stage, I'm like, they're probably like, what are we actually talking about? What is going on here? And yet Christ knows, he's actually still on the same trajectory. He knows exactly what he's talking about. It's just saying, I'm the light of life and you're pretty blind. And each time you say something to me, you're actually just showing me that you're really blind. And in fact, unfortunately, we laugh now, but it's not a laughing matter. Because he says, if you're blind, you die in your sin. And here's where Christ needs to stir our hearts. For we're not dealing with Pharisees, we're dealing with lost. Some of them might have a bit of a Pharisee spirit. But we forgive and bless and love. For if you do not see, if you ever and never ever see the light of life, you got what's going to happen. You're going to die eternally in your sin. You're going to die in your sin eternally. That's a pretty hectic thing. That is a pretty, pretty hectic thing. Moving on. Where I'm going, you cannot come. In other words, my world, world of light, your world, the world of darkness, don't coincide. Verse 22. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? So they're like chasing their tails by now. Verse 23. He said to them, you are from below, I am from above, light and darkness. You are of this world, I am not of this world. By the way, you guys, where are you from? Not of this world, nor America. Amen. Just checking. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. We are in this world, but not of this world. Verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So he's saying that to them, but in our context today, he's saying this to the world. He's saying, I'm the light of the world. Unless you believe in me, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins. And he's saying to us, guys, do you know this message? Do you know this truth? Do you know this scripture? That if you, what did we say just now? Go to the shop, go to your work, be in the traffic. Thank you, Dirk. Go to church. Wherever you go and you see people and you realize, for they are not able to see, or they have not seen the light that is shining upon them, that they will die in their sins and everlasting death. I'm in a place where I say, Christ, please come and just work with my heart that I can catch this. Maybe a good thing, maybe a difficult one, being a mother and a father. Being or having someone as your child, realizing that they are in darkness and that they cannot see, and that they will die in their sin and everlasting death, maybe that will come and touch your heart, because these are all, the lost is all God's children and God's children to be. Verse 25. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. So they're back, they chase their tails, and they're like, now who are you? What are we talking about? And he actually just started by saying, I am the light of the world. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true. And I declare to the world that I have heard from him. Now, as I said, there's lots of good stuff in here. And you can probably keep ourselves busy for 5 months in sermons. But it's just beautiful when darkness and light try to have a conversation. It's kind of difficult. Have you ever had a conversation? Light versus darkness conversation with somebody, with an unbeliever or an atheist, somebody that's full of pride at the moment. It doesn't really work. It's just like you say something like left wing. And this is what Christ is having here. Verse 27. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own authority. Remember that. I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I am always, or I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed him. We're like, wow. You just had this weird argument talking just crossover, missing each other big time, and yet the light has shone in some hearts. They've received it and they believed and they received the light of life. It was just, wow. But verse 27 to 29 is quite important. Let's just quickly look at a couple of facts. We don't have much time. Firstly, for us to see Christ, we need to receive Christ. We need to be born again, right? Cool. So whenever we go out and we want to shine the light and we say, Christ, please come and shine through us, the heart is that people be born again. What does it mean practically to be born again? In context of light, what does it mean? Anybody? Anybody? Yes. What you once hated, you now love. The light of life. You believe and receive. You said something else as well. You have life now. You leave the old behind. Yes. You were blind and now you can see. Yes. To be born again, you were once blind, but now you can see. That is the big thing. You cannot walk in this unless you can see. You cannot see unless you are born again because you've received the light of life. Remember, we're saying this to one another. We know that by the grace of God, we're born again. But we're taking this out, and the Lord wants us to reach the community, reach your workplace, reach the nations, and to always remember this. John 3:3, you remember the story. Jesus answered here, and he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you receive the light of the world. He opens up your eyes, you humble yourself, you receive him, and then for the first time you can see. Who ever read the Bible before they got saved and couldn't understand a single word? I'm not saying it's perfectly easy always reading Leviticus after that, but at least it's much better keeping it in and understanding the spiritual things. Who saw lots of visions when they were unsaved? I wanted to say it was the drugs, but luckily nobody put up their hands. Second thing, we referred, there's two things, the light of life and the light of the world. Quickly, the light of life. So he refers to himself as, I am the light of the world. But here he also says, I am the light of life. Who of you crave to have life? Not who of you crave to scrape through a month, to scrape through a day, to look forward to a Friday, to look forward to a lunchtime, to look forward to a braai, to look forward to a holiday. No, to have life. I want life, guys. I want life on a Monday morning. I want life on a Sunday morning for me. I want life on a Wednesday afternoon. I want life. Now, the light of life is Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. So if anybody wants life, he cannot have it without Christ. John 12:46. I have come into the world as the light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So when we step into the world, when we step into the community, when we step into somebody else's darkness, it doesn't help to go and chat about the darkness as such, but to go and be the light, to have life. To have life. Who of you have ever been in a situation where you've placed in a circumstances, you're placed into darkness, but just because the light of life is in you, just over time, it just oozed out. How do I take the darkness out of a room? Very deep question. How do I take the darkness out of a room? You speak life. You switch the light on. Amen. You turn the light on. For darkness cannot overcome the light. But yet, I need to be the package in which it goes into the dark places. Skipping a couple of things. You can go to the third one. The light of the world. Here I took from John Piper. He had a good, I just put the last one in there. He just said the following thing, and this is very important for us. When we think about the nations, when we think about the lost, when we think about our communities, is that firstly, there is no other light. It sounds so obvious. But guess what? This world is full of fake lights. As much as it's full of fake wells and fake taps that say, I will help you quench that thirst. And you realize, no, that in fact makes me more thirsty. Is it so that Coke makes you more thirsty? Oh, I don't drink Coke, but I've heard it makes you more thirsty. But there you go. So the world says, I'll give you Coke and you'll feel better. And you're like, crap, I'm just more thirsty after it. And likewise, there's no other light. It's either Jesus or darkness. That you need to make up in your own mind. If you've got this humanistic thinking at the back of your mind, thinking, well, there might be just like a other slight other way as well, then get it out of your system. Get into the Word and ask the Spirit to speak to you. so that you can go, when you share the gospel, that you know there's no other way than Jesus Christ. There's either darkness or the light of life. Second thing, all the world needs Jesus as light. If the Word of God says He is the light of the world, what does the world need? It needs Jesus as the light. If I walk into a Checkers, if I walk into a ShopRite, if I walk into a Pick and Pay, and I see people, the world, what do they need? They need the light of life, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. The third thing, the world was made for this light. This really touched my heart. This world, how broken it is and the way it looks, was actually made for this light. There's a natural, supernatural draw of this world and the people of this world to actually want and need this life. Obviously, you've got a will and you've got a fleshly nature, and because of sin, people reject this. But if the owner has sent this light, it's not a foreign light. Just breathe in and just stay with me, because this is, I believe, a very important thing. It's not like I'm walking into a bar thinking that I need to take my weird thinking, my wayward thinking, and pass it on to somebody else. That is actually a drunken stupor. That's not you, by the way. Ek weet jy drink net 3 biere. Grappie. That's not in a drunken stupor, thinking, what are you on? No, no, no. It is you, if led by the Spirit, I say this again, if led by the Spirit, walking into a bar with the light of life, knowing that whoever this gentleman is, that he was divinely made for this light, and it's not foreign to him. It's not foreign to his DNA. It's not foreign to his makeup. Because he was actually made in God's image and likeness. And he's just been waiting in the dark for this light. That's the main point of this sermon. I just sense it in the Spirit. Because the enemy will tell you, they don't want it. They don't want it. Yes, their flesh. And because of darkness and the illusions over our eyes, yes, the world doesn't want it. But it's not foreign to them. They were actually made, as we were made, as we are made for the light of life. This broken world, I don't care how rich or how poor, how broken or how sorted out on Facebook and Instagram they might look. They were made not for this light that is foreign, but this light that was actually made for them. And that gives me confidence in sharing about this light. It gives me a great confidence just to go be. Because if it's the barista, or if it's the barman, or if it's the guy in the taxi, if it's the CEO, or if it's the tea lady, they were made for this light, Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that. The fourth thing is, unless they receive, and this we said, and here the Lord needs to come and just rock our hearts, to stir our hearts with compassion, the door that Petri spoke about that we need. The door of compassion and love. Here we just need to realize, hey, if I'm not going to be light to this person, the chances are very good that they will die eternally in their sins. Lord, I think we need a deeper revelation. More than I need the new pair of shoes, more than I need the breakthrough, more than I need this for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Do you actually believe this morning that the light of life is in you? It's a very simple question. It's a very subtle question. But if the enemy has come with condemnation and shame and a bunch of stuff in the week, you're like, I'd rather not. I'll just stand back. No, the Lord says, shine. I'm calling you to shine, but you need to believe. So it's a matter of faith. So firstly, we follow. Secondly, we believe. You can go to the third one, please. Go to the next slide. Thanks. Surrender. I love that. That's always somewhere in the sermon. You need to surrender. To be light, you need to surrender. What does it mean? First thing, you can go to the first one, please. There you go. Let him deal with the darkness. Petri sang about that, or we spoke about that this morning. You want to be light? The boulders that we saw in the river. The Lord did that this morning. That was the sermon. He says, if you want to be light, deal with the darkness. God has been dealing with darkness in the corners of my heart. And unless I let him, unless I surrender and let him deal with it, I can't shine with Christ. I can't accompany Christ on the road. Because on the road, Christ says, let's stop. There's something wrong with your shoe and your attitude. Let's work on it. Yes, good. Now let's walk on. Let's shine. And so we need to do that. Next one, please. Thank you. That's good. Second thing I believe we need is humility and honesty. So honest with the Lord, honest with one another. Be humble. The only way to be used by the Lord is to be humble. You can go to the next one. Childlikeness. I'm not going to even read the scripture there. You know it. I believe there's a childlikeness. To be used by the Lord, you sometimes need to feel and look like a fool. God is not wanting to make you feel foolish, but He uses the foolish things of this world to despise the wise. God might ask you to do a weird thing in a board meeting. He might ask you to accompany Him on the road by standing up in a board meeting and saying no. You might have to walk into a shop and do something weird. You might have to do something that's totally countercultural, counterintuitive to your flesh, definitely to your flesh often, and stand up and do something. And that's the way you will shine. But it takes humility in surrendering and childlikeness. Fourth thing there is to not strive. This is not something that I get right easily. You can ask my wife. I can joke about it and I ha ha, but I kind of tend to fall into that trap. I want to shine, Lord. I want to shine. But I need to be plugged in. I need to be humble. I need to let Him do His thing. And the last thing is do not hide. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. Matthew 5:14-16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives the light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God the Father," or Father in heaven. It's not on there. But He says, don't hide your light. Who's ever hidden their light? We all have done that. But He says, don't hide your light. So the first three things were, if we want to be light, we need to follow Christ. It's not that easy always. Follow Him. We need to believe that the light is in us. Then we need to surrender. We have surrendered lifestyles. And the last one, you can in fact stand with me, please. The last one is, be who you are. Don't let your mind go now, because I believe it's an important point. You can go to the next slide, please, Frank. No, there you go. A bit of a freaky slide, but anyway. That's all my handiwork. Believe it or not. This is where I believe also the Lord is calling us as a congregation and for us to be. Yes, follow Him, follow His word, follow Him honestly. Believe, have faith in Him, in you, and the light through you. Surrender, surrender, surrender. To be used by Him in many ways. And then have the freedom to be who you are. Be who you are. Who's ever fell into the trap to want to look like the denomination or to want to look like that person? If there's anybody you should look like, it is Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. But there's a way that you've been called to shine that nobody else is called to shine in this part of the body. There's a place where you need to be the light that not everybody has been called to be the light. It doesn't make it wrong. And in fact, it's such a freedom to shine the moment you realize, well, this is actually who He'd made me to shine. This is what I can reflect. Reflect the part of God that you are made to reflect. I'm going to repeat this. And I prophesied over us as a church community. Reflect the part of God that you are called to reflect. That does not mean like, oh, okay, cool, that's mine is just to chill a bit here in the corner. No, 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 no. Go find out. Go search it out. Be the freaky blue light if you need to be the freaky blue light. He might just steal the candle's light now and again and the candles thunder, but that's part of the body. God has sovereignly made us to shine in different ways. As long as it's biblical, as long as it's godly, and as long as it's moral and loving and faithful, shine. But be the light if you've called to be. I'll be preaching on it in next time, but 1 Corinthians 12 speaks so beautifully of unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Isn't that such a blessing? And then if you go on, you'll actually see that there's the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're not called to shine in the same way. But we're going to do that in another sermon or sermon series. In summary, we're called to be, not to do. And when we do, it needs to come from our be. And for us to be, now I'm not rapping, I'm actually just summarizing. For us to be, we need to follow Christ wholeheartedly. We need to believe daily and fight for the belief and the faith that the light is in me. We need to surrender our plans and our things and our quickiness even sometimes. I know this sounds counterproductive, but sometimes to surrender the things that the Lord wants you to surrender, and then to shine the way He's called you and made you to shine. Let's close our eyes, Lord. Christ, thank you that you are the light of the world and you're the light of life. And thank you, Lord, that you dispel the lie this morning that the world was not made for you. I declare over us to know this, to have this revelation that the whole of the world that we go and see out of this building, on the outside of this building today, each and every one of them were made for the light of the world. They were made for the light of the world. They were made for the light of the life. And the only way in which every single person on this planet can truly live is to meet the light of life. Lord, we want to be partakers. We want to be conduits. We want to be drain pipes. We want to be hose pipes to be used so that your waters, your light, the light of the world can go to those that were made for it. If you're still on that page and you say yes, just raise your hand to say yes. This is me, Lord. Lord, use me. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you for the anointing upon us to be used. Thank you for the anointing upon us to be used. Thank you that we know the light and that the light will shine through us and that we need not perform, but we can be. Thank you, Lord, that you will allow us and help us to follow you, be on the same road as you, accompany you, Jesus Christ, be plugged in. Not fake it, but to be with you as the source. Thank you that we will believe, that we will surrender. And lastly, I want to pray over this. If you've ever felt in the shade or ever felt that your way of shining is not right or it's not like anybody else's shining or it's maybe too peculiar or your light is weird, it flashes or whatever the case may be. And you just want the freedom of the Spirit of God, the freedom of the Lord, to shine in the way in which He calls you to shine, to reflect the part of Christ that you were called to reflect. If you just say, yes, I want that freedom, just raise your hand. Just for that freedom, just to pray that in. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. Thank you. I just call freedom, 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 freedom to shine the way that Christ wants you to shine, to go out in the street, to evangelize in the way that Christ has called you to evangelize, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we just come against any spirits of pride and any Pharisee type of religious spirit that want to bug people down, put them in boxes that you did not place them. And we break that in Jesus' name. We break that. We cancel the plans of the enemy. We break it. We break it. We break it in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, release your people to shine in the way in which Christ wants to shine through them. Even Shofar Table View, I say you are free in Christ to shine in the way that you've been called by the Lord to shine. Not by man, not by culture, not by the enemy. You've been called to shine, and you will shine as Christ chooses for you to shine in Jesus' name. Nothing else. The Lord said over this church to shine, and it will not be by might, it will not be by power, but it will be by the Spirit of the Lord in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you will come. And if it's not you, then it's nothing. But if it is you, it is everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.